Hi, everyone. I'm Jennifer Vine, President and CEO of the Education Foundation of Sarasota County and your host for Education Conversations, where we share ideas on education today and ways to help prepare students to thrive. First of all, I want to send out a big thank you to the Community Foundation of Sarasota County, someone that is probably near and dear to Susie's heart, for sponsoring today's episode and for all of the generous impact that the Community Foundation makes in our community and to our community folks. We certainly appreciate you guys so much. And everyone, I just want to welcome you back to Education Conversations, the Regional Scholarship Providers Network. So I hope that kind of piques your interest. There's so much to learn about this. In 1955, the William G. and Marie Selby Foundation was established here in Sarasota. And since that time, they have made a significant impact on thousands of young people and also on the operations of hundreds of charitable organizations through traditional grants and student scholarships. We're going to focus a lot today on the student scholarships because they are certainly one of the high caliber organizations in our community leading this effort. And that brings me back to when 2021, they partnered with the Community Foundation of Sarasota County to commission a study to address ways to reduce the inequities in college attainment rates across the counties they serve, which is Charlotte, DeSoto, Manatee, and Sarasota counties. So we want to kind of learn a little bit more about that, the why and the how, and what the impact it is having on our community. So to talk about this today, we're joined by Selby Foundation President and CEO, Susie Bowie. I bet many of our listeners are familiar with Susie Bowie. She has worked in the foundation world for over 18 years and is well known in Sarasota and all Manatee, DeSoto, so many counties. She has been a lifelong giver and servant leader. I can attest to that watching her from afar, and also as she has partnered with the Education Foundation. She joined the Selby Foundation in 2023 and is continuing their mission of investing in people through scholarships and supporting capital projects for local organizations. She is the current chair of the Charitable Gift Planners of Southwest Florida, and she serves on the board of Visit Sarasota and also the Florida Nonprofit Alliance. So everybody, we're going to learn so much today. So Susie, it is a thrill to welcome you to Education Conversations.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here, especially on this podcast, because I think that our missions really, really gel, and the work that you and your team do are such a compliment and provide so much leadership in this space in our region. So thanks for having me.
Oh, well, we're going to learn a lot from you, I'm sure. So let me start off first about a little bit about, you know, the William G. and Marie Selby Foundation had a tremendous commitment to education. And so just really want to understand how they were really ahead of their time in the way in which they established the foundation and the ways in which they wanted to give back and have an enduring impact. Can you share a little bit about the way they paved the way of how it brought you to where we are today?
Yeah, thanks so much for asking about that. You know, at private foundations and with the work that you do, it's really made possible by individual donors. And if it was not for those people, Bill and Marie Selby, we wouldn't be here. So one of the very unique things about them is that way, way back when the Selby Foundation was established in 1955, they knew that they wanted to have an enduring legacy. They knew that they wanted the foundation to last into perpetuity, but they also believed that it should be flexible. They knew the things that they cared about were students and giving students access to opportunity and nonprofit organizations. And throughout our history, a lot of our work with nonprofit organizations has focused on capital support. We're not going to be talking about that today, but I do want to let you know that a lot of the capital support we have invested in over time with nonprofits has been with those that really believe in education, that have an education and human service focus, that are really serving those kids to make sure that when they get ready to apply for scholarships, graduate from high school, that they are prepared. So there's a couple of different ways that we help to meet student needs.
That is so wonderful. And I would love maybe at another podcast time to even go deeper in the history of, as you termed, Bill. I've not afforded myself that informality. So it's wonderful that you said that. And Marie Selby, just in terms of maybe you, I don't know if you can answer it in a real short way, but why did they center in on education?
Yeah, so both of them had access to education. Bill made his money in the oil industry, and he noticed that people that were working alongside him, maybe in the oil fields, the only thing that separated them was that Bill had access to education. And he knew that if everyone had access to education, they could attain more. Marie was also college educated. They did not have any children of their own. So they really put all of their resources toward trying to help this community, and in particular, education was such a focus. In fact, in the early days of the foundation, if all the money had gone out for that year and there was still a need, especially in the education realm, Marie was known to write a check out of her own pocketbook to take care of the additional need. Really cared about individuals and their educational goals, but also as part of the larger community, knowing what it could do to uplift Sarasota.
How wonderful to know that. And we know that we've been a benefit of the Selby Foundation for sure, and particularly so many of the Selby scholars, the students who are out there kind of across the country now at this point who benefited from their generosity. That's really neat. So take us now to where we wanted to learn a little bit about the study that was commissioned by the Community Foundation and also the Selby Foundation. And I think it was to look at inequities in college attainment rates. And there was some things that were gaps that you all found and discovered. So what were some of the significant outcomes that really came out of that study?
Yeah, thanks so much for bringing this up. And I think for people that are really close to education and students in our community, a lot of what we learned was affirming of some of the things that we already know and the programs that are already in place. So with this particular study, we were looking at a few things. What is preventing students from being college ready, right? What is preventing them from applying for financial aid and getting into school, making sure that they are taking that next step, whatever kind of post-secondary education they're looking for, whether it's vocational, whether it's a four-year college. And then finally, persistence. Are they remaining in college and are they graduating? And when we look at our own results for our scholarship program, of course, we like to talk about the number of Selby scholars that we've welcomed into our family each year. But what really matters is, did they graduate? Mm-hmm. Do they have the supports that they need to stay in college? And so some of the things, some of the best practices we uncovered, some of the work that we found in this study is that there are many, many scholarship providers in our region. And we don't all talk to each other. Mm-hmm. We don't all come together and share best practices. In many cases, we are serving the same students. So the same students are getting access to all the scholarships. We really found that there was a missing piece with middle-income families and their students. Mm-hmm. So many of the scholarships are geared towards students that are in very low-income families, right? And so we're leaving out the middle-income students. There's a huge opportunity there because of the cost of college mm-hmm. and actually incorporating them. And we also found out that in terms of college and career readiness, there's a lot more work that we can be doing in those spaces. So one of the things that's exciting about what we found in the study, linking back to the Education Foundation of Sarasota County, is you are working on many of these components in many different ways as you connect with students and their families. Family engagement was another piece. Mm. Of course, if we can engage our families, when we look at family engagement, this is across the board, but particularly with first generation students. So these are going to be the first generations that in some cases graduated from high school. And in all cases, they're the first students that went to college, right? So many times their parents may not understand what are the barriers that they're experiencing. They may not understand how to fill out that terrible FAFSA form. And you all have dedicated so much time and energy to supporting those students. These are students that may otherwise not go to college at all.
Right.
So we recognize the importance of what you're doing and other groups like Unidos Now, special nights they're having at schools. These are some of the things that came up in the data.
That's so great to hear. And we love when the awareness can be raised over the challenges that these kids have, because when we do see things like 90% high school graduation rates, and then you see some of the other college attainment rates, you can tend to think that everyone is thriving. And yet when you disaggregate and you pull back and you look at whether it's low income, first generation, minority, underserved kids in general, you really do see kind of how that percentage just continues to go lower and lower. So pulling together what you all created as a result of the study, I think is really remarkable. And that's the Regional Scholarship Provider Network. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what is everyone learning from each other, perhaps? What is the Selby Foundation gaining from this? Because the collaboration seems to be very impressive.
Yeah, thank you. So we're learning a lot. And first, I want to give a big shout out to our senior scholarships manager, Kiara Womack. She has really put this regional scholarship provider network together. And one of the ways that she leads is really coming from the space that there is no one of us that has any more expertise than someone else. So within the network, we have colleges and universities. We have USF. We have SEF. We have small Black fraternities and sororities that award scholarships. We have all of the local foundations. We have the Take Stock in Children organizations from different counties. We have the Education Foundation. You all play a huge role in the success of this network. And we have many other nonprofits. So coming together in this space, what we have done is made sure that all of our meetings, they take place on a quarterly basis, are focused on the topics that each of the scholarship providers would like to hear about in order to be more successful. And of course, one of the things that we're learning is that the relationships themselves are forming the success of the group. So just as a small example, this year when the FAFSA was completely re-engineered and we were so excited about having a smaller form, all of the exciting technical glitches that came with that, that presented so many barriers for families. And in many cases, the families that really needed their kids to go to college the most, that are often left out, this group was able to share communication. Here's some common instructions that you can provide. Here's some opportunities to get together and help families understand why it's so important. We align timelines together. So many of the foundations that provide scholarship applications made sure that we had a common deadline for those applications so that we could work together toward the deadline. So all of that learning and sharing establishes these great relationships in good times and in bad times. The group is looking at everything from really big picture goals like a common app. And you know, Jennifer, how challenging that is, to how do we better market the opportunities so that students that are not typically aware of scholarship opportunities are brought into the fold. And in many times, it's these networks. It's having people say, you know what, I had this student come in. They're not right for our scholarship, but we think they would be a great student for what you're trying to achieve. And finally, we spent a lot of time with Robin Fossey with Results First, and she really wanted to make sure that we understand when you come together and spend time in these spaces, the relationships matter, but what is the result? What is the gain that you're hoping to get? So again, are we getting more students apply? Are we having more students overall get these scholarships? And how can we even look at the structure of the scholarship? Mm-hmm. So we know that renewable scholarships are getting us to the finish line. That is what's making sure that students graduate from college. In many cases, the students are getting a one-year scholarship, which is great, but what do they do their sophomore, junior, and senior year? They really are encountering some challenges with how they move forward and stay debt-free or don't graduate with a huge debt.
Would you give any advice to if there's a donor out there that may be interested in creating a scholarship? Because certainly that happens across many funders and providers and organizations that can administer them. What are some tips that you might suggest to some of these donors?
I am so happy you asked that question because the very first tip is don't do it. Please, please work with someone that is existing doing the work. Work with the Community Foundation. Work with the Education Foundation. Talk to Take Stock in Children. And if you are absolutely determined to start your own scholarship fund, make sure you take time to understand the complexities. I think a lot of people don't understand what it takes to raise the money for scholarships, and they certainly may not understand the complexity in awarding the funds where they can make the most difference. But there are so many institutions that are effectively administrating scholarships. So let's work with one of them. Also, we welcome anyone to come to these meetings so that they can learn and share. They can sit in the back of the room. They can sit in front of the room and participate in whatever way is comfortable for them. But I think getting exposed to the data, getting exposed to some of the challenges helps them understand, yes, you can help one person at a time, but how can we do it in partnership? Maybe with someone who's been experienced in this work.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And then to a student that may be looking for scholarships. And, you know, particularly with this network that you said at the very beginning, the study kind of identified that the middle income folks, they're not getting as many. Have we seen more access opportunities created for students, and where would you be pointing them to go look and discover for these things?
Yeah, so unfortunately, that's one of the areas we haven't seen a lot of movement. Everybody is still geared toward these other students that we all tend to gravitate toward, but I think there is opportunity for them. And of course, the resource that we refer all students to is the Education Foundation of Sarasota County's website. You have an amazing searchable directory where they can put in criteria, look for scholarship opportunities. And I think the scholarship providers in our area know that if you're going to update one thing every year, go to the Education Foundation and make sure that's updated because there's so many choices in there. One of the things that is not new, but we, of course, documented in the regional scholarship study is that there are not enough advisors in schools now. Mm-hmm. They are way outnumbered by the number of students and also what is expected of them. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to have that one-on-one that you may have had in the past. So seek out the organizations that can support you. Mm-hmm. Google, go to the Education Foundation. There's so many people that are willing to have that one-on-one conversation with you or point to someone who can. And I will say, Jennifer, with our scholarship recipients, the Selby Scholars, and I'm sure many others, as we are looking at their applications, nearly every one of them has been deeply immersed in a youth-serving program. So we know that it is these nonprofit organizations that are supporting them, that are telling them they can do it, showing them the resources that they need to see, not only to know college is within their grasp, but to figure out how to pay for it.
That is really encouraging news. And I love how your perspective, because you see it from like the 40,000 foot level, and you can see how the community is kind of, we're rallying the troops around the students to make sure they get the resources they need. So I'm really just applaud everything you all are doing as well to help orchestrate and coordinate this movement. I think it's just amazing. So I know this isn't necessarily about the full Monty of what Selby Foundation offers, but can you give a little bit of aspect of some of the ways in which you offer other grants so that if organizations are listening, they might be able to understand a little bit more too?
Yeah, absolutely. So all of the grants that we award are for capital support for organizations in Sarasota, Manatee, Charlotte, and DeSoto County, so the same region where we're serving scholarships. We tend to focus heavily on health and human service organizations, education organizations. We do support some environmental organizations and civic welfare organizations, but our funds are really intended to strengthen what organizations can accomplish with good buildings, good equipment, good technology, the stuff you really need to do the work. So those are some of the capital grants that we award. We sometimes award grants for websites. So just really spending some time on our website, calling one of our staff members, we can walk organizations through the process. And one of the things we do a little bit differently before an organization applies, we spend time with them on the phone to make sure that this could really be a good fit for them. We know everyone has limited time, and we certainly want to make sure if you're applying for a Selby grant, you at least have a chance of receiving the grant. So that's what we do from that perspective. But as I mentioned before, Jennifer, there's a lot of linkages between strengthening nonprofit organizations and strengthening what students have to look forward to. We know how much students are struggling with mental health. Mm-hmm. We know how many students are living in really challenging home situations. We know how many of their parents are working two or three jobs to make ends meet. So when we can do a better job of supporting those nonprofit organizations that are providing other supports to students, we are giving those students a better opportunity to say, you know what? I can do more, I can strive, I can find resources that I need in my own community so that I can move forward with my life.
You summed that up so beautifully. You have a way with words, by the way, Susie Bowie. You really are an eloquent speaker. I would say that Bill and mm-hmm. Marie Selby, they really were such leaders ahead of their time. And do you think, like, if you were to talk to them today, what do you think their reaction would be of seeing the impact both in capital, organizations, scholars, you know, everything that is happening in our community? What do you think their response would be?
I think that the Selbys were very modest people, and they would turn that question back on the community. They never desired any type of recognition for their work. And that is one reason why humanity and humility are so important to us, because it's not about us. It's about the organizations and the students doing the hard work. I think they would be shocked to see the level of cooperation that we have in our community, and also the number of organizations that are working to help students succeed and get that access to opportunity. Thinking back to the mid-50s, even thinking back to 1971 when Marie passed away, we did not have the nonprofit sector we have today. And so that sector is not only strong, but it is one of the reasons that so many students have been able to move forward and achieve more than previous generations in their families.
Well, they are an inspiring family and enduring legacy for sure. So, Susie, we're so fortunate to have you on today as a guest. Thank you for joining Education Conversations. It's amazing always to talk to you. You have a way of just lifting people up. I just want you to know that. So thank you, Susie. And everyone, if you want to learn more about the Selby Foundation or to apply for a grant or learn more about the scholarship network, visit their website at selby.org. FDN, that's short for foundation, FDN.org. It's a great website to check out. And also, if you want to learn more about the Education Foundation, you always can find us at edfoundationsrq.org. So again, thanks to the Community Foundation of Sarasota County for your unfailing support. And thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in to today's podcast. Be sure to tune in to other episodes of Education Conversations. We love having you around and we want to have these conversations. It's important topics. So for now, this is Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.
Thanks so much for having me.